Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This
is an Entel Studios production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Making the Cut. How are you all? I hope you're all right. That was a little laugh from you there. Were you not expecting me to be so professional
was,
and slick?
Yeah, it was really good.
Just came to life there, you know. How are you?
Yeah, you know, it's like, here we go again, mm-hmm. Back into lockdown. My world is going to look a little bit different, though, than the last time because television production is allowed to continue, which I'm kind of amazed about. Like, what's the point?
Is that essential, do you think? Is that the idea?
I mean, entertainment for people, is that essential?
I think
television is essential.
Yeah, it feels like it is, isn't it? It's what everybody did in the last lockdown is watch it. So if you can't produce new stuff. Because I was amazed. I just assumed all my work would stop dead.
Yes.
And most of it's working on TV shows and things to promote TV shows, and nothing's cancelled yet. Everything's going ahead.
So it's very odd.
It's like a pretend lockdown.
They've said
it's a lockdown, but
nobody's. It's not really.
It doesn't seem that way to me. Everybody I know is still working. You know, I'm offer condolences for those of you that are not working, and it's difficult.
Yes, and life is very difficult. And economically, we understand that life is very difficult.
I mean, I have only got 4 days work in November, but it all is still going ahead. So that's quite good. It is a bit sad, though, isn't it, I suppose, that we're here again. But maybe, for as a little treat for these lot listening, we could do a little live one sometime.
Yes,
next.
And I'd love to do that.
Yeah?
I would love to do that.
We haven't done it for ages.
No, we haven't.
It feels like a trip down memory lane.
And the other thing I really wanted to say was that unlike possibly in March or April this year, I do feel like, and you said this the other day, Michael, that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
That we aren't that far away from next year. And I know that it's not going to all suddenly be amazing on January the 1st. But at some point next year, you know, next summer is going to look very different to this summer.
Yes, it is.
And I know that it'll be probably 5 years before we kind of get back to where we were, maybe economically, but I do feel like there's like, it was very bleak.
Yes.
Before.
Yes.
So
a guy on the Andrew Marshall saying that there's 9 vaccines in late stage trials. Mm. 9. Which is very hopeful, isn't it? You'd think at least one of them's going to work. You know?
Yeah.
So it sounds like by the time the new year comes around, we'll be in a very different place. So I'm super optimistic about all that. But on with the show.
On with the show.
So this is a podcast where we recommend things that we think that you would like, and it can be anything. We've got quite a bit of TV coming up, though, haven't we?
We've watched a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
We had a sort of 2 days of splurging of television.
Mm. What have you been up to? I mean, have you been doing anything interesting?
Half term.
Yes,
so I've basically been on half term for the whole week, and my kids have been around, and my daughter's gone back to school. My son hasn't; he's got another week, so I'm just hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a day on Long Lost Family tomorrow, but that's it, really. It's been sort of very family orientated. How about you?
I don't think I've done very much, really. It was half term, but I saw the kids a bit, and we did some things. I just can't remember what they are.
God, what's happened to us?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
It's like old age.
I got drunk on Friday night.
That's probably what it is.
Yep.
So basically, you're in some kind of weird hangover. I have no excuse.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, you have no excuse.
Yeah, but as
what's
you get older, these
brain?
Hangovers last a lot longer.
They do. There's a kind of depressive effect.
Oh, hang on. I've just realised you didn't get drunk with someone from your street. I was with you when you got drunk.
Yes, you were.
Oh, my God. Tell everybody what you did.
I don't know what I did.
You did an interview.
Oh, yes, I did. I had to do an interview at midnight Friday.
What was it for?
It was for the Times newspaper. They rang and said they loved the podcast and wanted to do an interview with me. Presumably, they thought they couldn't get you. So they asked
but for the radio show.
Yeah, they have a radio show. Like, the Times Radio, yeah. It's called. Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard quite a few people saying to me that they are now actually listening to the Times Radio station.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And that it's actually genuinely really good.
Mm. I assume they can't play music because I don't suppose they've got a license. So it's probably like talk radio. But I think Andrew Neil does the Drive Time show.
Like,
and
wow.
Giles Corran does a show on there and a few other kind of Timesy. Opinion columnists. I would have thought Rod Little's probably in there somewhere. Little, I think. You get mixed up between Richard Littlejohn and Rod Little. But they hate that then too.
Who was
it? Phone's going mad.
I was gonna talk who was I gonna talk to you about that hated getting mixed up with this is a shit show. We can't remember.
Don't worry. It's late at night. We normally record this in the afternoon, but it's
so
quarter
funny.
To seven.
It's very late. For us.
It is. I mean, you're normally in bed by 8:15, the latest. So anyway, I did this radio interview, and I was pretty drunk.
And what was really funny was just before I was like, "Michael, you talk to me," and he was like talking to me. I was going, "No. You've really got to try and like slur your words less." That's he's like, I am not slurring my words. I was going, no, you really are. No, now, okay, say that to me again. And then he did his very, very best not slurry words. And I was like, okay, that's much better. Yeah. Okay, that's better.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't remember what the interview what I said. And I'm far too anxious to listen to it back. So, you know, you can listen to it for me if you like. It was.
I don't know if anybody ever caught his hair talk live from Soho House Shoreditch.
Yeah.
One afternoon, early evening, but he'd been out for a lunch and he did a live hair talk at 8 p.m. and he was still at the lunch.
Yeah, I mean,
it's akin to kind of Holly and Phil after the NTA Awards when they've pulled an all-nighter.
Yeah, it was shambolic, quite frankly. But a lot of people think I'm a maniac drinker, but I drink about once a week. It just so happens that there's always something to do online at that point. I don't drink very much at all.
I would strongly advise you to not do radio interviews at midnight. It's not a good idea.
It's a terrible
idea.
I'd rather be on the prime time slot at, 5:30, you know, I'd rather be then, but they don't want me
Andrew
then.
Andrew Neil wants to talk to us about our
exactly. I like Andrew Neil. I was on the One Show with him a few times. And
is he nice?
But he's so clever, you know, he is
impressive.
The editor of the Times for many years. And obviously, he runs that politics show this week, I think it's called. So, I mean, he's just got a brilliant brain, and I think he remains relatively impartial. I mean, I'm sure people are screaming at their iPods or whatever it is now for me saying that, but that's how I view him anyway. I think he's very good. So anyway, yes, the Times Radio, I would recommend you having a little look at that. That would be a good recommendation.
A very good recommendation.
I was really impressed with the broadcasters on there, and the quality of broadcasting thought was fantastic.
Just so you know that I don't have any form of dementia yet. I have remembered it's Little Dicky, and he doesn't like being compared to who's the guy that sang Thrift Shop.
Oh, I have no idea. I mean,
oh God!
I think your dementia is kicking in a little bit there.
It's not.
Well, it seems like
it's not.
You just said
Macklemore.
Oh yes, of course. Well, he talks about Macklemore.
Yeah, because they do a show,
and
in the second show, he's supposed to be putting on a show for a kid that's died at his friend's school, and then Macklemore turns up and they don't want him anymore because Macklemore's the bigger name.
I mean, when I watched Dave, which is the sitcom we're talking about that's on the iPlayer, by the way, if you're interested, I just assumed...
Have we recommended it before?
Yeah, I've talked about
because
Dave.
Because it is
so
good.
It's really good,
and
isn't
Chester
it?
Is loving it.
Yeah. Well, it seems on Instagram, I've just noticed that it looks like a second series is due. It looks like they're filming a second series.
Oh, good.
Because the ginger guy's in it. You know the guy with ginger hair, but he's brilliant, isn't
he's
he?
He's very, very funny.
But I just assumed Macklemore was a fictional character. I didn't realise that one Little Dicky was an actual rapper.
Oh, yeah.
Or that Macklemore really existed.
Really famous, yeah. So he's got, really famous rappers and musicians in there. Chester knows everybody.
Well, Justin Bieber's even in it. You saw the with Justin Bieber?
No, not yet.
Oh, have you not?
No.
Oh, okay. Gosh, you're in for a treat.
I'm so excited.
Dave, on the iPlayer, it's an American sitcom, and it's a no-brainer. You've got to watch it.
Can I talk about something else that I found on the... Actually, I think it was on Sky. Intelligence. It's on Sky. It's a Sky original. And it has got David Schwimmer in it. And the point of the story is that he is an NSA agent And he comes over to GCHQ and causes absolute chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to be very American and kind of much better than GCHQ because America's the greatest, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, he's a slightly disgraced NSA agent.
Okay.
As we go on to find out.
In an increasingly digital world, cooperation between intelligence agencies has become vital.
We have Jerry Bernstein from the NSA arriving shortly.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. Jerry, Joseph Harris, it's so great to finally meet you.
This is Chris Cranfield, Director of Cybersecurity at GCHQ.
No way. I was expecting a guy.
It has just been commissioned for another 6 episodes, second series.
Okay,
it
great.
It got a very, very disappointing 6 on IMDb. I was very surprised to see that.
Yeah.
Because I would say the first episode isn't great, but yeah. it was good enough to keep me watching for another episode, mm-hmm. and then it just got funnier and funnier and funnier as you got to know the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And David Schwimmer, it felt like he started to find his character because it's rather than David Schwimmer just playing himself, he definitely really is playing a character and he starts to fully embody it.
Okay, great.
In about episode 3. And then it just gets funnier and funnier and funnier. Now, do you remember Ted Lasso?
Of course, yeah. I love Ted Lasso, yeah.
Nick Mohammed,
yeah.
Who's in Ted Lasso,
yeah.
Who also wrote Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Or co-wrote Ted Lasso.
I think
he was
so,
one
yes.
of the writers
he was,
on
yeah,
it.
He was involved, yeah.
He wrote this.
Okay.
And he stars in it. And he is David Schwimmer's sort of foil. There's a hilarious scene where David Schwimmer arrives and just assumes that Nick Mohammed is his PA.
Yeah.
And actually Nick Mohammed's just come down to greet him. Mm-hmm. He's an analyst and he works for GCHQ. And he is so racist and rude and everything, David Schwimmer to him, it's really funny. And he's sexist. I mean, he's just the worst person. But Chester and I watched it and I'm always looking, as you know, for series that I can watch with Chester.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my son is 14 years old. We can't watch anything even remotely sexy together because he just, rom-coms are off, no kissing, nothing,
okay.
off the table at the moment. He's just like, oh my God, I can't watch this with you. So we have to go comedy mm-hmm. or horror. I can't do horror, so comedy it is.
Did you like the horror thing that I sent you today?
Oh my God, no. I didn't. It literally, I screamed. I screamed.
Yeah, I did as well.
Fuck.
I sent to Vina this thing on WhatsApp that somebody had sent to me, and it's like a ghostly figure that appears, and then all of a sudden it just like screams at your screen. But I mean, it really took my breath away when I watched it.
And I kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah. So then you think,
And loving horror like I do.
Yeah, yes, I knew you enjoyed horror movies so much. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed that.
So I just want to say that I would really, really give Intelligence a go. If you've got kids,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, over, I would say, 12.
Yep.
They will think it's hilarious because it's quite slapstick comedy. But give it a go and give it more than one episode and definitely give it more than 10 minutes. There was an interesting review on IMDb where the first sort of comment that came up about it said, oh, I can't believe it only got a 5.5 or
yeah.
6 in the reviews because that must be from people that watched the first 10 minutes. And I
yes.
thought, God, I completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than that.
Well,
it deserved more.
It's funny because I've got a show that's probably similar
yeah.
to talk about. It's not a comedy particularly, but it does require watching a lot of it for it to be enjoyable. Watching one or two episodes, I was thinking, this is absolutely pants.
Mm.
So you've watched season 1 of this, but it's Billions. Have you finished talking about this, by the way?
I have.
Okay, great.
I would just really highly recommend it. Intelligence, it's on Sky. I really enjoyed it. I think Nick Mohammed is a huge, huge star.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know who he was
mm-hmm.
Until 8 weeks ago, and now he's everywhere in my life. And
yes.
I think he is a genius. I loved him in Ted Lasso. And when I found out he wrote it, I was completely blown away. And I really, really like him in Intelligence. He's very, very funny.
He's a very kind of unassuming chap, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's a genius.
He looks like, I mean, in Ted Lasso, you know, he's the guy who obviously is managing the team in the end, but he's the most unassuming kind of caretaker type groundsman guy. Obviously, in this, he's playing a similar role where everybody thinks he's this kind of assistant or PA or something like that, but probably he turns out to be the guy, I would have thought. But he's perfectly cast in that role.
He
has this very kind of undertone of confidence about him, really, doesn't he, that actually, and that maybe comes from his real life. I don't know, but yes, I know exactly what you mean.
I really want to watch it with you. Can we watch it together?
Yes, I would be very, very keen to watch it. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I love comedy and I don't really mind what type it is. You know, I'm a big fan of it. So yes, I was desperately looking for something to watch. As I was led in bed one night, I stumbled across a thing on Facebook that said the big TV shows that have been cancelled due to lockdown. And it had a picture of The Ozark there. And I was thinking, not The Ozark. You can't cancel The Ozark. Mm. So then I went through all the shows that have been cancelled. Mm. And obviously it was clickbait because The Ozark is a show that has been recommissioned for another series.
Yes.
And I thought, God, I've been totally fucking conned here into this.
Social Dilemma.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I stumbled across Billions, which had been commissioned for a sixth series. And I was thinking, I need a big show. I want a show I can watch for the next 2 months or something that really just get into. And I thought, well, the fact that that's been commissioned for another series, there's already 5 series to go at.
Mm.
There's about 10 or 12 episodes a series. Great. Damian Lewis, quite like him. This Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's great. I've seen him in lots of films, always liked him, you know. So I thought, great, I'll give it a whirl.
What we do has consequences, intended and unintended. The decisions we make, the actions we bring, have weight. Come to work every day and be just and strong in the actions you bring, and don't waver.
When did it become a crime to succeed in this country? Everyone has access to the information, we just know how to analyze it better.
So I watched episode one, I thought, God, this is terrible. And then I watched episode two or three.
I can't believe that you really stuck with it.
Yes, I know. And then by the end of the season one, I remember thinking, I cannot really take any more of this.
No, and you kind of complained every episode.
All the time.
Yeah,
but I was in it.
Like, I really don't like it, but I'm watching another episode tonight. And I'd be like, why are you doing your, you know, to be honest, I quite enjoyed the first series.
Yeah, well,
I did.
One of the problems with is that I think Damian Lewis is quite unattractive. I don't think he looks very handsome or likable, or he doesn't look very nice. You know, there's something about him. So I don't particularly want to look at him. This Paul Giamatti guy is quite an unattractive chap as well. You know,
West Wing. Nobody was attractive in West Wing, but you loved that.
Rob Lowe was in West Wing.
Oh, yeah, he was, you know, wasn't he?
There were some attractive, and Martin Sheen is quite a handsome, charismatic guy as well, I guess. But I just kept thinking, God, and nobody seemed to be very nice in it, you know.
The psychologist,
who was in Mad Men, of course. Mm-hmm. He was the fling that, what was the Mad Men guy called? Look what's happened to my All right. What was he called?
I don't know, I didn't watch Mad Men.
Did you not?
No.
Oh my God, really?
No.
Mad Men was the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was having a fling with her, so I always quite liked her, and I remember thinking she was good. There's a psychological angle to this. So I'll read you the blurb, first of all, for Billions, for those that have not seen it. It's on Now TV or Sky. I presume you can get it on Amazon Prime as well. But it says, Billions is a complex drama about power politics in the world of New York high finance. Shrewd, savvy US attorney Chuck Rhodes, which is Paul Giamatti, and the brilliant, ambitious hedge fund king Bobby Axelrod, a terrible name, are on an explosive collision course, with each using all of his considerable smarts, power and influence to outmaneuver the other. The stakes are in the billions in this timely, provocative series. I mean, it's quite provocative because he's always tied up with a gimp mask on and she's always standing on his chest and has high heels. There's a lot of weird sex.
S&M going on.
Yes, there's a bit of S&M in there. And there's lots of obviously lying and cheating and backstabbing and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, season one finished and it was a cliffhanger at the end of season one. And I thought, God almighty, what am I going to do? I don't really want to watch any more. So then I turned on season two. And in the opening scene of season two, there they've employed at Axe Capital, the investment fund, they've employed a trans person And it's really good.
Trans woman or trans male?
The preferred pronoun is they, them. They only want to be called by them, them.
Okay.
So it's just an interesting scene that all of a sudden there's a trans person in this highly testosterone-fueled... So all of a sudden I was hooked in because I thought, now I'm interested because there's something upsetting in the mix of all these men.
Yeah.
Who are all twats, basically.
Yeah.
And this Bobby Axelrod character... I thought, oh, it would be interesting to see how he works with this this trans person. And, of course, they hit it off immediately because the trans person is a genius and can see the world through this weird lens that they've of a trans person, I guess. They don't see the same things that a kind of a pumped-up male would or some kind of
foxy female
that wants to get in that. They're completely devoid of it all. So all of a sudden I was like, fuck, this is much more interesting now.
God, so, you're making me want to watch it
now. I have to say, season two, I'm on episode 7.
Because I gave up after season one.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of other people did. So it really took off after that. It's entered a whole new kind of world, really. And then, obviously, the corruption and the deceit and all the rest of it's still there. And it's still about Chuck Rhodes and Axelrod trying to get to each other. But it's got more complicated and the web's got a bit thicker. And for me, it's just got a lot more depth to it. And I'm really starting to enjoy it.
Oh, God, wow. So how many episodes into series two
Maybe
are
7.
You?
Wow. I've really caned it. Yes.
Wow.
Every time I sit down and eat tea, hand on heart,
feel really happy for you.
It is a relief that I found something and I've still got another 4 series of it to go.
I'm so happy for you.
So it rates quite well. I think it rates at about 7.5 or something on IMDb.
Good.
It's pretty good. Each episode's about 60 minutes long. Although I think some of the script is pretty dodgy and some of the characters in there are extremely unlikable. His wife in it, Axelrod's wife, I think is oddly cast.
Yes, the blonde lady.
Yeah, there's something...
But I quite like her because she is... There's something very dark about her.
Well, she has just turned on her husband in quite an interesting way.
Oh.
So the writing's got a lot better and the way they've manipulated the story and the characters and everything's got very good. And there's lots of kind of philosophy in there as well. I think with the psychologist in there analysing these people and picking them apart and then helping them put them back together, it's a bit like a bit of therapy.
Yeah.
Because you sit in these sessions... You could arguably learn something about yourself listening to some of the conversations.
Yes.
So anyway, I would highly recommend it, actually.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You can get through season one. Season two then becomes an absolute treat.
Because people are going to have time on their hands.
Mm.
Some people are going to have time on their hands.
Absolutely,
if they're not in television.
Yeah. If you're not making it, you're watching it.
So, yes, thank you for that recommendation. Mm. I would like to quickly talk about, because weirdly, 4 years ago, on the eve of the American election, we were in a very different place.
Mm-hmm.
We were not dating.
Nope.
But you were working for the one show in the American Embassy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to bed and sending you a text saying, God, it must be so weird. You've been there tonight. You know, good luck. Please just tell me Trump isn't going to win. And you sent one back saying, there is no way Trump is going to win. Sleep tight. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, what the flipping hell happened there? So can you just tell us a little bit, because this is, again, we're recording this on Tuesday night. It is the eve, or it is the American election happening today.
Yes. So
when you're listening, you will know
Yeah.
Who's won?
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. But right now, we don't know.
Right
so,
now,
yeah,
we don't know.
4 years ago today, I used to do this show for the one show called The Street Barber, where I cut people's hair in weird places. And on this particular night, we got asked, well, we asked if we could go to the American embassy and cut the hair of the UK ambassador or the US ambassador to the UK, a guy called Matthew Barnes, and personal friend of Obama's. Got to go into his office and cut his hair. He gave me the little American pin badge and everything.
Have you still got it?
Yeah, I've still got that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Got this amazing interview with him, a little bit about his job and US and UK relations and all the rest of it, which was very reassuring, actually. There are all these people that you have never heard of, all working on these relationships constantly. And even if Obama and whoever it would have been at the time, David Cameron perhaps, would fall out, it wouldn't mean anything, really, in the grand scheme of things, because there's all these interconnected relationships that are layers, layers deep that sit underneath the president that don't fall out, that keep everything together. So it really doesn't matter enormously that the two presidents might fall
out. Unless you're Trump.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, he could order his ambassador to pull out of the UK and stuff like that. I mean, he's crazy, right? But anyway, we were there at this huge party in the American embassy, and we were cutting hair and interviewing people. And it was the most bizarre party I've ever been to. For instance, Duran Duran was there. Like, what? Jimmy Carr and Jeremy Paxman all sat round a table together. You'd think, God almighty, how bizarre is it going to get? Anyway, all night we were interviewing people. There's 2,500 people at this party, and we could find one Trump supporter to talk to. And of course, we work for the BBC, we're trying to find some balance. And we find this guy, and I interview him, cut his hair, and we'd have a little chat, a laugh. And I said, so you were a Trump supporter then? And he said, I'm a Trump supporter for the purposes of this. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, because so few people are prepared to support Trump publicly, he said, I'm getting all the work. So I'm on the Andrew Neil show this week. I'm on Question Time. I'm on Good Morning Britain. I'm on This Morning, because TV needs the opposing debater, right? And he said, and that's me. So he said, I'm making $3,000 or $4,000 a day.
No.
Being a Trump supporter.
Shut
yeah.
up. That's so and smart.
Then, right? It was really good, because I thought, oh, wait. And he says, and I'm prepared to take a bit of flack. I think Trump's all right. You know, he probably won't win, but I'm earning money. So that's that.
But I think...
He was the only person I could find to talk to.
Go on.
Until
Trump
took Florida at about 3 a.m. The party was still full with 2,500 guests. And by 3:30, there was about 150 people left. And they were all people I'd spoke to earlier. And now they'd all come out as Trump supporters. And I said, so were you lying to me earlier then when I spoke to you about it? And they said, yeah, because, you know, we thought it might be a humiliating defeat and didn't really want to do that on camera. And then they went on to say, yeah, we always knew he was going to win, blah,
See,
blah, blah. It was incredible.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the thing that I'm worried about tonight is that even though Biden has got a kind of broad lead with everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, and Hillary didn't massively have a broad lead with everybody, but mm-hmm. there are so many secret Trump supporters.
Yes, they are.
And
they
Trump,
won't let you know.
We only ever see the really silly stuff that Trump says, the ridiculous stuff. He actually must have moments when he is good, because the economy in America has been booming previous to the coronavirus.
4 years is too short, I think, to do anything. I think whatever president or prime minister gets this amazing economy going, it's largely from decisions that were made 10 years
before,
ago.
Yeah.
I would have thought Blair's reign and the economy booming was probably everything to do with whatever Thatcher did to destroy a whole bunch of stuff. And it was the kind of evolution of that, really, that he was riding the crest of a wave of.
So Trump's riding
all the stuff that perhaps Obama put in place. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I can't imagine that 4 years is long enough.
That, you know, it is so ridiculous that I've seen of Trump. And I don't know all of his policies and I don't know everything about him, but the stuff that I see is how contradictory he is of himself. I mean, I am always saying, look, I'm allowed to change my mind. In an interview, I'm allowed to say something 8 years ago and then have a different stance on something.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, it seems like these are big matters. You know, I'm anti-gay marriage. That's what he said.
Yeah.
He said, I'm anti-gay marriage. And now he's like, I've never been anti-gay marriage. It's like, you were. Like, and you really were sort of vehemently.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the reason why I brought
that
up was because on Twitter, I think I found her on Twitter, but everybody else found her on TikTok. So she became really
talk
famous
about now.
On TikTok.
Yeah,
Sarah Cooper.
Yeah.
So Sarah Cooper is a comedian, an actress. She's been in various dramas. She's been on Ellen DeGeneres. She's been all over the place. But she has really, really come into her own by lip-syncing Donald Trump's speeches with such unbelievable accuracy in her mannerisms when she does it. It's so funny because she will say something and then he'll go, well, but the way she moves her head and her face. Anyway, what I love, there's something really beautiful about somebody that starts an Instagram account that is so pure and only does kind of one thing.
Yeah.
But they hone it so brilliantly. It's like Lauren. I can't stop looking at Lauren Jumps.
Yeah. Fuck. She's great, isn't she?
Her skipping is... It's something else. Anyway, Lauren Jumps only skips and Sarah Cooper was just miming Trump. And so I just found her so funny, so exceptional. Anyway, she's just got herself a Netflix special. I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's like. I had a little look at a trailer and with Helen Mirren in it. I thought it was okay. It wasn't as funny.
Yeah, well, it depends whether you've seen that before or not, I think. I haven't seen that scene in its entirety. With, you know, it's basically the one where Trump says, "I'll grab her by the pussy."
Mm.
And I've heard that line, but I've not seen it in context of the whole discussion.
But it's all a bit weird.
Yes, it is a bit weird.
And it's weirdly shot. But anyway, apart from that, go and check her out on Instagram because she's hilarious.
I didn't realise that with Helen Mirren. So she's had a bit of work done, it would seem, now then. She seemed unrecognisable to me.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that was Helen Mirren.
No.
Yeah.
You didn't?
No.
No.
Yeah, like I mean, towards the end, I thought, is that Helen Mirren?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like...
I instantly recognised
her. Had a few injections in her face, maybe. Not that I'm against that, by the way. I can't wait to get my face filled with injections. But, I didn't realise it was her. I'd be interested in seeing that, because I stumbled across her on Instagram about 6 months ago, and I remember thinking, I wonder where this girl will end up. And it's great to see somebody.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic, yeah. There is something I do want to mention. So I follow Tim Minchin, as you know, on Instagram. And his album is almost out. He's been drip-feeding songs. I don't know if you know this or not. So every so often he drops another song. So obviously I reviewed Airport Piano, which I still love even more now. So he's released another one recently. It's called The Absence of You. I don't know if you've heard it or not.
For a moment we kiss, but her vodka-soaked lips taste only of the absence of you.
Okay, so it's a great song. You can go and watch it on the YouTubes. There's a nice video that he's made for it, or you can go and listen to it on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever, but it's called The Absence of You. But it starts with a piece about Paris, about walking through Paris.
Oh,
and
does
that
it?
Obviously made me think of you, yeah. So it says, I take a walk on the Seine, cross Pont Neuf on my way to Saint-Germain.
Oh.
And then it talks a little bit about Paris, and then it goes to New York, and then it goes to London.
Oh, wow.
But it's all about him being there on his own and not being there with his wife.
Oh.
Very, very brilliant. Well, he's just brilliant at writing songs, in my opinion. And none of these songs are particularly funny. And he says in his Instagram post how anxious he was about putting out an album of actual music, not just kind of comedy piano songs. But the love, I think, that has come back in his way from doing that, I think, is great, which has been a great relief for him.
They're not funny, but they're full of pathos and meaning, aren't they?
Yes, like, and lots of humour, I think. You know, and this one's the same. It's very, very good. But there's a lovely turn of phrase in there about the absence of you and all these different kind of scenarios where she's not there and he wishes she was.
Oh.
It's very, very good. But the thing I do want to tell everybody is that he's doing a live gig online that you can buy tickets for. So the tickets went on sale on the 2nd of November.
Have you bought any?
No, but I'm obviously
going to. We've got to get some tonight.
Yeah, so, well, just by coincidence, my dad texted me today and said, you've got to get tickets for this. So the gig is not until the 19th of November.
Yeah.
It'll be 7 p.m. local time, Australia.
Yeah.
So that'll probably be in the morning for us, won't it?
Yes.
It's from a very famous gig in Sydney. It's not the Opera House, but I think it's a one of his favourite venues.
Yeah.
And it's the only live performance you're ever going to hear of this album, is what he said. Because obviously you won't go on tour, and by the time you're allowed to go on tour, you probably will have written another
one. Wow.
Album. So this will be your only opportunity to see it, but it's £10 a ticket. I couldn't recommend Tim Minchin enough to anybody. If you're remotely interested in music, or you like music, or comedy, or philosophy, or anything, you know, that grapples around any of those themes, then go and buy yourself a ticket, or your husband or your kids or whatever, and sit down one night and watch it. So it's on at 7 p.m. local time, Australia. Tickets went on sale on the 2nd of November. The gig is the 19th of November. And if you go to his the link in his bio on Instagram, you can buy tickets, I believe, from that. So we will buy tickets tonight. I mean, yes. We can either arrange to be together that day, that morning or something like that.
We have to be together.
I believe you can watch it live, or you can live stream, or you can stream it at any time after that for a month or something like that.
Oh, great.
I don't know what it is. So you don't have to watch it at 7 in the morning.
And it's quite nice to watch it, like stream it onto your telly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that would be the point. Watch it on telly and watch it as a collective group. Like, if you're in a family,
like a gig,
and say, let's all watch this. Apparently he's going to play the album in entirety, and I assume he's going to play a few
some
of his favourites.
You know,
I really hope so anyway. But all loved to mention, and go and have a listen to The Absence of You. It's
also
a really, really lovely song.
He's absolutely worth following on Instagram, because he sometimes does these like just Instagram lives.
Just as a little live song, right?
The other day he just made... We were just with Tim Minchin making his coffee in the morning.
Oh, really? I've never done that before.
Oh, it's so good.
I want to make coffee with Tim Minchin.
And he's just like doing something... I think I might start doing that more.
Or just some live... Like,
Instagramming live for no reason.
It is great, Instagram live, isn't it? I love it.
It's very funny.
Anyone who watches my hair talks know that I love the old Instagram live.
But no, I mean like... Oh, yeah. Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so should we do some shout-outs?
Let's do shout-outs.
Okay, so Fran James sent me this thing. She said, I'm sure I'm late to the party with this guy, and you're probably already following, but O to the MG, I like that. He is absolutely fantastic, and I'm mesmerised by his voice and his hair. He's wicked. Sam Hare Wolf Fryer.
Wolf Rider.
Wolf Rider?
Sam Hare Wolf Rider.
Thank God you're here. Sorry, anorexia making me not dyslexia. Anorexia, same thing, right? Sam Hare Wolf Rider.
Have you clicked on it?
Yes.
And?
So he's a singer.
Yes.
And the first thing I listened to, I thought, oh yeah, you know, he's got a great voice and everything. And then I listened to a few other things. I was like, oh wow, this guy has an amazing voice.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And he just sings covers and stuff like that for a bit of
fun.
Oh my
God, let me see. Oh, look at the hair.
Like, yeah, right?
Oh.
So let's just pick one at random. So, but he does some other things, like he does...
Let's go. Stay out to get you better, leave all you can. You want to be a boy, you want to be a man. You want to stay alive, better do what you can. So be it.
Oh my God, it's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm like...
Shut up. It's got 846,000 views.
Right. 1.7 million followers.
Lone Wolf's creative.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Quite amazing, right?
I love him! Yeah. I want, like, we've got to be friends.
This is our fault. I bet you never told you everything that you've been through my mind. All secret thoughts.
It's very good, isn't it?
You never caught a sliding with another man.
I love this face. And do you know what else I love? I love that every single shot is in the same spot.
Yeah.
In his house, this is his singing spot. He always looks the same. What's the close-up? Show me the extreme close-up one. Oh, okay.
Stop messing around. This is serious business. Counting
oh,
days,
I
counting
love him.
So, he's Fran James, thank
he's
you.
He's really nice.
Yes, he does
Wait,
seem very
Sam
nice.
Sam Howell Friday, I'm following him right now. God, Fran! Fran from Wales.
Yeah.
That is your... Insta account, Fran from Wales. Just want to say mega, mega thank you. I love him.
It says Lewis Capaldi shared his Insta this week, so I reckon you'll get a few more recommendations.
Fran.
Amazing, right?
He is phenomenal. Wow. Follow.
So Davina and Michael, this is from Sandra, SandraRock29. Knowing that Davina loves jigsaw puzzles,
yes,
you may enjoy the movie Puzzle. I really enjoyed it. Great watching. Different. Sadly, one of the main actors, Ifran Khan, from Slumdog Millionaire. And he died. It's worth a watch. A rated 6.7 on IMDb, and it's on Netflix. So Sandra is recommending the movie Puzzle.
Thank you, Sandra.
So great.
I've got to write that down in my... Because I've got so many recommendations that I have to write down so I remember. Okay.
This is from Louise Van Laar. So Louise V. L. 70. The Queen's Gambit is on Netflix. Oh. What? Do you know this?
Everybody is talking about The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, are they?
Everybody. And I haven't started it yet, but read the blurb.
Okay, it's set during the Cold War era. It's about a gifted chess player. I love any Cold War dramas.
Yes.
Orphan chess prodigy Beth Harmon struggles with addiction in a quest to become the greatest chess player in the world while struggling with the addiction. I personally had no idea about the chess and the game, and it makes my head hurt just thinking about it. But after watching this, I almost tempted to buy a board and give my brain a workout. The main actress is outstanding. She was in Peaky Blinders.
Oh.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
So great. Thanks very much, Louise, for that.
Louise, thank you so much. I must watch that because lots of people have said that to me.
Rachel Munro, thank you so much for this informative, fun and uplifting podcast.
Yay! You're welcome. Thanks, Rachel.
Keeping this woman of a certain age sane through lockdown and beyond. I've been a Davina fan through the Fab Workouts forever and now also a lovely Michael Douglas.
Yay!
I wanted to recommend two great heartbreaking but ultimately uplifting films on Amazon Prime. One is called Beautiful Boy with Timothy Chalamet and Steve Carell. Now, I've seen the trailer for Beautiful Boy and I can't watch it, basically. I cry at the trailer. I'm not sure I can get through it.
You've got to watch it.
It's a father and son working their way through the son's drug addiction. Anything's father and son's like... The second one is Manchester by the Sea with Casey Affleck, which we watched
Manchester by the Sea. It was one of the most harrowing...
It says, get some tissues and watch it. Both are kind of sad and feels exquisite.
Manchester by the Sea was an amazing film.
Well, I responded and said, blimey, Manchester by the Sea nearly killed us both. And I can't bring myself to watch Beautiful Boy. But thank you, Rachel Munro, because other people will no doubt watch them.
I'm definitely going to watch Beautiful Boy.
I mean, I will watch it at some point. I just when it came out, I thought
this is the second time we've been recommended that by a listener. Because I've written that down before.
The Haunting of Hill House, one before Bly Manor. Now, a lot of people have recommended this. It was the number one in the Netflix charts for quite a long time.
What is it about?
I don't really know, but I've seen them advertised a lot.
Is it
and
scary?
It's The Haunting of Hill House. Yeah, they're horrors.
You'll have to watch that and tell
me about it. So, Kathy Crane, thanks very much. I will get round to it, but I'd said a great one for Halloween there. And then, let's have a look. Let's do a couple more. So, Jackie... Hi, you guys. Don't know how to show my appreciation on Entel for your fabulous podcast. Aww. So I'm telling you here, I love it. Hope you guys can be in lockdown together this time.
Thank you.
That's Jackie. But
thank you,
know,
Jackie.
She's not got an Instagram name. It's just Jackie. That's all right,
isn't it? That's very cool.
Yeah.
Jackie.
Thank you for recommending the film Prisoners. Fantastic film. Gosh, was totally
really was.
On the edge of my seat
so
the whole
good.
Time. Oh my God, the ending. I just wanted another 5 minutes to see Milana.
Yes.
That's from Lorna Palmer. Thanks, Lorna. Yeah, The Prisoners was knockout,
wasn't
it? Do
you know what I forgot to say when we recommended that movie?
Yes.
Was that Jake Gyllenhaal was just the best detective. He would see things and you would think, oh, he's seen it. He's clocked it, you know. You just think, God, you would want a detective to be that clued up. Mm. He would notice... a shoe or a packet of cigarettes or, you know, he just was so observant. It was brilliant.
So that's it for shout-outs for this week.
Great.
That was quite good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great fun.
Hope you're all right and keeping well, everybody.
Be safe.
In lockdown. And we'll try and crack out a live podcast fairly soon. Then we can see.
Our live podcasts, I quite like when we make them culinary. So any sort
cooking.
Of like... any cooking gadgets that we've got that are good.
Yes.
And also any kind of food ideas. Because lockdown, the thing about lockdown that I absolutely hate is the amount of flipping cooking.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a nightmare, wasn't it?
It's a nightmare. So maybe sort of some quick, easy dinner ideas, recommendations or foods or quick and easy foods to cook, eat, you know, anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're asking me?
No, I'm just saying maybe that's what we should do for our live.
Yeah. Okay, great. I love that. I always liked it when you did a bit of cooking.
Yeah.
Bake a cake and all that jazz.
Exactly.
Okay. Enjoy the election. And I do enjoy the election. This is going out on Friday. I wonder who's won. Who's going to win?
I do think Biden.
I think Trump. I think Trump will stay in power.
I mean, he'd be the first one since George W. Bush Sr. that doesn't.
Yes.
For 8 years.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
So and that would be
Ford
bad.
As well, we only did one term, but there's very few.
Very few.
Yeah. So I think that statistically he's likely
and
to
let's not forget he has now got godlike status because he just walked all over the coronavirus.
Did he? Yes, exactly.
Did he have it?
Has he ever had anything? Okay, over and out.
Over and out.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.